You gotta love that music. I don't care what your religious affiliation is, or even if you have one, you gotta love that. The Trans-Siberian Orchestra rendition of O Holy Night, you gotta love it. Welcome to tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. This is our Christmas show here on the Malloy program. We started doing this in 1997, I think. Yeah, this is 12 years now we've been doing this. Started when we were working in Chicago. And it's always been a lot of fun. So we'll tell you what's coming up. The first thing tonight, a piece from Bridget Wolf, who is one of the ethics advisors to this program along with Bob Alexander. And she has written a piece about the winter solstice. And that's kind of what we're celebrating tonight, winter solstice. And people who are of the Christian persuasion are celebrating that holiday. The blending of the two, of course, was a deliberate act. And, okay, fair is fair. So we are going to share with you now from Bridget Wolf. It's entitled Pathways Through Silence. Silence. No twittering of birds, no water burbling in the stream, not even a breath of breeze in the fir trees, only the whisper of flakes, soft as a feather, drifting down from the heavens, covering bush and branch, watercourse and pathway in clouds of jewels. The snow is so new, there are no tracks, no bird scratches, no bunny feet, only the jewels, the crystalline sparkle of water molecules sculpted by winter's icy breath into faceted gems, then dropped in slow motion on a barren landscape. A few hours ago, all was gray. Now hints of rainbows hide at the edges of my vision, waiting only for a ray of sun to spring to life. Ah, yes, sun. It is the sun I've come seeking on this shortest day, longest night of the year. The winter solstice has been creeping up on me, the dark stealing a bit more of the light each day. The sun sinks further to the south. Its arc in the sky grows smaller until I wonder, as my ancestors did before me, whether the light will ever return. The holly bushes are filled with red berries, letting us know the winter will be early and long. This year, the Holly King will not relinquish his reign without a struggle. This is a time when nature sends us deep into the cave of ourselves to find the warmth and light that truly sustains us. As much as we may love the silver glow of a full moon night, we mortals are not creatures of reflected light. We are the source of our own fire, burning engines of spirit flames like the sun. We have the capacity to warm and nurture or to burn and consume everything around us. Do we want to turn up the heat and melt the snow and ice? We'll destroy the rainbow crystals hiding in the snowflakes. The solstices and the equinoxes teach us that balance is the key. Knowing when we have gone far enough into the silence, knowing when we have shouted loud enough to the voices in the sky. So in this mystical, magical depth of winter, we string lights on our eaves, hang shiny ornaments on trees, and light the Yule log, while taking care not to set the house on fire. There's no need to panic in the cold and the dark. There's a cycle to these things, and for every fear that the snow will silence us forever, there is the hope that there will be room for our voices to sing again with the spring. The celebrations of midwinter give us a chance to take a deep breath and share our fire with friends who have been peering into our introspective caves. In the silence of the winter solstice, in the moment when the earth holds her breath and waits for the sun to begin the path again, reach for the light that glows in your heart and sing softly to all that you love. With your own warmth and light, nourish the seeds you will plant in the spring that will grow in the summer for you to harvest in the bounty of autumn. Just as we know on this night that the light of the summer will come again, we also know that a year from now, we will be back in the dark and the cold. What is outside of us will follow its eternal pathways. What we grow inside is ours to choose. If each of us holds warmth and light in our hearts in this time of cold and dark, perhaps it can radiate into the world.
Sweet chariot.
right, I'm ready to go home. Oh, wait a minute. We are home. That was very nice. Thanks to Bridget for sending that to us. Ah.
Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. Okay, goodbye. You have a nice night. Oh my goodness, what did I do? Leave the sound on my laptop. Oh, that is a no-no. There we go. Earlier today, when I was doing some vacuuming on the level of our house where the bedrooms are, Molly's bedroom is in there. And, we always have a party on Christmas Eve. It started out as a party for our Jewish and Muslim and atheist friends, but somehow it expanded until now a lot of Christians show up too. We hold it kind of early, usually about 4 o'clock in the afternoon until about 9 o'clock at night. So those who want to can get to their midnight mass. So Kathy's cooking, getting stuff ready for this party tomorrow night, and I'm doing the cleaning. It works out that way, trust me. And I'm vacuuming in the hallway, and all of a sudden Molly comes running out of the room. Daddy, Daddy, they're talking about the winter solstice. And I went in, and I had set the radio in her room on our NPR affiliate here in Atlanta. And for the music. It's a classical music station. They were playing a lot of Handel and, some of the other, Tchaikovsky, some of the other, composers that have created music that we've come to identify with this season. And then it switched to, a winter solstice, a broadcast. And I believe this was from Boston. And the same broadcast is done, or the same program is performed in about 15 cities around the country, including, I believe, Portland, Seattle, some of the cities that where this program can be heard on the radio. And so I went in to turn off the vacuum cleaner, went in to listen for a while, and oh my goodness, it was just wonderful. Winter Solstice Celebration on NPR. And it happened this afternoon. I'm sure they will. They may have a rebroadcast. Perhaps this was a rebroadcast, but it was really cool. And Molly is finally starting to incorporate the two holidays, Christmas and winter solstice, realizing what they both represent. If you read Kathy's blog today at MikeMalloy.com, this little Q&A between Kathy and Molly, and when I stumbled downstairs this morning to get some coffee, Kathy had already posted this to the website. And, it takes me about an hour to get my eyes open. So she said, hey, look what we wrote. And I looked at it, and I have to admit, it was pretty damn cute. So if you haven't read it yet, go to MikeMalloy.com. It's Kathy's Christmas blog with her and Molly. Molly makes a cameo appearance tonight in Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, too. Oh, man. If we can just find her some real work, Kathy, you know, that would be great. All right, we have a break coming up here. And at the bottom of this hour, let me look at the menu here. At the bottom of this hour, yeah, we'll be doing The Night Before Christmas. Molly is, she can't hear me. I'm in the booth here, but she's sitting over here on this combination couch day bed that we have in the studio for the nights when she wakes up. And she's looking at The Night Before Christmas. So we'll bring her in here after the break at the bottom of the hour and do A Night Before Christmas, all right? the hour. You got to admit, that's the best combination of dance and music ever put together. Thank you, Mr. Tchaikovsky. 21 past the hour. Spike in Mount Pocono, PA, who signs off underneath his address, podcast trivia champion. He writes, Gonzo, greetings, Mike. Just want to let you know for tonight, December 23rd, tonight is also Festivus, an anti-commercialism, non-religious holiday made popular by an episode of Seinfeld. One part of Festivus is the airing of the grievances, where you yell at people on how they disappointed you this past year. I suspect you would love that toward corporatist Democrats, the Obama administration, and, of course, the corporate media. Also, today is the birthday of rocker, progressive political activist, and future member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam, who wrote arguably the best anti-W song ever, Bush Leaguer. Just thought both items would be noteworthy for tonight's holiday show. Happy Festivus, Spike, Mount Pocono, PA, podcast trivia champion. Yeah, Festivus. You got to hear something. Have we got time for this segment? Huh? I think we do. Here's a truly creepy Fox Business News special promotion on the job hunt. I guess brought to you by your friends at Blackwater and Halliburton. Fox News' perky and pretty Jamie Colby talks about how great it would be to beat that unemployment blues with a wonderful civilian or military job that has great benefits.
On the job hunt now with a Fox News exclusive, the Army's Chief of Staff, General George Casey, is announcing new employment opportunities with the Department of Defense. And in some cases, you don't even have to endure basic training. We are talking about civilian jobs here. Jamie Colby is live at an Army recruiting center in Manhattan. So what kinds of civilians is the Army looking for, Jamie?
Well, let me first address that basic training, John. They did threaten here to make me down and give them 50, you know, but fortunately, I didn't have to. And you don't have to, actually. To be a civilian, there are a number of jobs. John, can you imagine a corporation that offers 550 different job classifications?
Oh, my God.
Just about everything is represented, supporting our troops. I can't imagine anything else with more honor. There are great benefits, too. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
325,000 Americans already serving as civilians in the Army at 67 countries worldwide. If you love travel, this is definitely for you. And we had an exclusive sit down with the Army Chief of Staff, General Casey, who told us there's one category they're particularly interested in. Take a listen.
Okay.
What is the skill set that you think is the most in need right now?
I would say probably contracting. I think you know that With the deployments, our contracting requirements have gone way up.
Yeah.
And they have, John, you know about all the work that's going on all around the world that the Army takes part in, but they're also looking for crime scene investigators, firefighters, child care workers, nurses, many, many other classifications. And let me give you a website there that you can go to, civilians. It's cpol.army.mil, and there are, as I said, more than 550 different jobs with great benefits.
Great benefits. So, how about confidential online mental health assessment? How about free stress reduction programs for children at Fort Bliss? No job, no health care, worried about your retirement? No worries. The Department of Defense is hiring. Why? Because endlessly expanding war is America's new growth industry.
And I guess there's a stress reduction program that comes with the Army employment?
Yeah, how about this, John? Not just for those on the front lines, for our soldiers, but starting November 1st, there'll be a comprehensive soldier fitness assessment, confidential online mental health assessment developed at the University of Pennsylvania by Dr. Martin Seligman. This is really a project General Casey has very close to his heart, and it will benefit civilians and also family members, even children. Over the summer, they'll go down to Fort Bliss to schools and put into the curriculum stress reduction mitigation techniques that will alleviate, if not reduce, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and that feeling of hopelessness and struggle that many military families and soldiers can feel. It's not an easy job to be a civilian, but you are serving your country, and the benefits, including the competitive salaries, are comprehensive health care, John, something we're all looking for these days, as well as retirement plans. It's definitely something to check out. You have the website. We're on the job hunt for you.
Oh, my God. The bubble-headed bleach blonde, Jamie Colby, Fox Business Channel, can tell you all about how you can join the never-ending terror wars for fun and profit. The Army needs contractors and child care specialists and civilians just like you. I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. Before the hour on the Molloy program, this is our Christmas winter solstice program. And again, thanks to Bridget Wolf for that incredible piece of winter writing. That's what that was. Jesus, I could feel the snow crunch. Wasn't that great? Most of the people who contribute to this program contribute writing. Written pieces to this program are so good. It's astonishing. Is Molly, where'd she go? Upstairs? Okay. Oh, she's putting... All right, is she nervous?
She said she needed to get Puppy and Teddy and put them to sleep first.
Oh, okay. The two stuffed animals that she has that talk. All the rest of them don't talk, but those two talk. Timber in Durham, North Carolina writes, Mike, I'm a subscriber. I've been listening since about 2002, i.e. America days. I listen to the archives usually, so I don't get a chance to call. I live in North Carolina, referred to as America's most military-friendly state. I find it hard these days to support the troops because I run into active military people all the time in the airport who have absolutely no remorse about anything the U.S. military has ever done in Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere else. When Sarah Palin came down here to America's terrorist training camp at Fort Bragg, she was treated like a celebrity by hundreds of uniformed personnel. Some of them were quoted in the local paper gushing about Palin's godliness. These are people I'm supposed to feel sorry for? These people are heroes? Even after 6 years of this war crime called the occupation of Iraq, the military is still seen as cool, and even liberals and Democrats constantly regurgitate nonsense about the military's honor and how it defends our freedom. The only critics of the military who have actually been part of it seem to be people who have done as they were told and are now safely in the private sector. 1 million dead Iraqis are rotting in their graves, Mike, and even the Obamaphiles can't be bothered to care. It has now become more taboo to criticize a war criminal than to be one. Anyway, I could go on and on, but I know your time is limited. I'm linking an article from Information Clearinghouse, a decent site except for the scary anti-Semitism that creeps into the message boards at times. It's a nice, quick overview of recent military history. I'll write again soon, and maybe I'll even call. Happy holiday to you and your ladies. Peace and freedom, Timber. Thanks, Timber. And thanks for the link. Yeah, I'm familiar with Information Clearinghouse, and I know that they do get a little bit weird once in a while. The way I don't mean to be totally self-indulgent. The way I started reading the night before Christmas on the air with a kid in my lap started with my son Chris, who turned 31 on the winter solstice. He was born December 22nd, and which is pretty cool. All right, he missed it by an hour and a half, but when he was little. And I had just started radio. This is about 25 years ago. Some nights when I couldn't get a babysitter, I was a single parent, and I couldn't get a babysitter some nights. So I would bring him into the studio with me. My first radio job, and I used to tell him, "Shh, don't say a word." And I wasn't even getting paid, but your first job, you try to make it all work, and. So Chris would come in. I would give him a handful of colored pencils and some paper, and he would sit there and draw, and until he fell asleep on the couch in a little anteroom adjoining the studio, the sound booth where I was. And I did. It wasn't a Christmas show, but it was a couple of nights before Christmas, and I had Chris in there, and I said, "Hey, come and get on my lap. And I'll read this to you." And Chris was about five. And that's how all this started. All right, let me get Molly. Hold on just a second.
Just a minute. Molly. Molly. Okay, come on. You ready for your close-up? Where is she, Kathy? All right. Okay. Okay, I hear her coming. All right, hold on. Okay.
She'll be right here. You know these women, right? All right, Molly, you ready to do this the night before Christmas? Huh? We do this every year. Do you know how many times you've done this?
About 2,000.
That may be what it seems like. All right, now you got to look right in the microphone, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. It was the night before Christmas.
And all through the house, not a creature was squeaking, not even a mouse.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes
of Saint Nicholas would be there.
Soon would be there. Look at the stockings. Does that look like our fireplace?
You already said that.
I know. Does it look like our fireplace?
Yes.
Okay. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their
head.
Yeah, see that little kid? That looks like you asleep. And Mama in her kerchief. Your mama doesn't wear a kerchief, does she? Huh?
What's a kerchief?
It's a handkerchief.
And
I and my cap had just settled down for a long winter's
nap.
Nap, that's right. That's what they call sleeping. When out on the lawn there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. What's a clatter?
A clatter is like a big noise, like
boom. Away to the window I flew like a flash. Tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
What sash is?
The sash is when you raise the window.
No.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but what?
Saint Nicholas.
A miniature sleigh
was
and eight tiny
reindeer.
With a little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be who?
Saint Nick.
Saint Nick, look at this.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary. Look at their eyes.
Yeah, these things look like their eyes.
They do. Those are bells, I think, on their antlers.
Yeah, bells up there.
More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen. Do you know the rest? On Comet.
On Comet.
On Cupid.
Cupid. On Dancer and Prancer. Banser.
And Blitzen.
Blitzen.
Blitzen. Ooh, look, there they go. Holy cow.
What's this one say?
That says Prancer.
Oh, Oh, this one's like
Comet. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. There they go.
Look at all the toys in here.
I know, that'd be kind of scary.
With all those presents.
I know. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound.
Guess what?
What?
That cat's watching.
Yeah, he's looking at the cat, sees something up there in the chimney for sure. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. Just like our fireplace gets all dirty, right? You know how I clean up the ashes every once in a while? A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler, just opening his pack. What's a peddler?
A peddler's like an old man.
Easy, kid. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow.
No.
What's he eating there? Oh, my goodness.
Milk and cookies and some little meatballs.
They look like meatballs. Yuck. You gonna leave out some cookies for him? Huh?
Milk and cookies.
Milk and cookies, good. The stump of a pipe yelled tight at his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed, like what?
Like a jar full of jelly.
He was chubby and plump, right? Jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. That means nothing to be afraid of,
little
right?
Dice and Gally, he's waving a finger. No, no, no.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings. And then he turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, what'd he do?
Up the chimney he goes.
That's right, he did. He sprang to his sleigh and to his team, gave a whistle. Give a whistle. That's good enough. And away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight. What? Merry Christmas
to all and to all a good night.
Well, that was very good. That's very good reading. All right, speaking of good night, guess what time it is for you,
sport? Good night, Daddy.
Good night, sweetie. I'll see you after a while, okay?
Bye.
Love you.
Love you, too.
It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.
About 10 before the hour, one of our frequent emailers is Dr. Sachs. He identifies himself. He is a musician with the touring Count Basie Orchestra. Yeah, still around. He writes in, Malloy, that was crazy last night. The caller from Georgia on C-SPAN and the prayer thing. Some think it was a hoax, but others agree with you. That area of Georgia is really big, Redneckville. Either way, God damn. And Senator Barrasso sat there like a deer in the headlights, not even condemning the guy for praying for the death of a senator. Maybe they should get some dolls and pins out, too, while they're at it. On another note, I was listening to some other so-called liberal talk show hosts. They shall remain nameless, but they are really pissing me off with the Obama bashing. I just don't think that is the right approach to getting what we want. We should give the man a chance. He inherited a problem that was beyond most people's abilities, but to bash him like Fox News and right-wing radio is not the right approach. Positive support and telling viewers to write their representatives and to pull the president where you want to go is the way to do it. If the Democrats kill the health reform bill at this point, we will not have another chance for 40 years. The Republicans will scream victory. The Democrats will not come out and vote in 2010, and the Republicans will take back the Congress. Boom. Game over. I still think we need to try to pull him as far as we can, but things have changed since FDR was president, and corporations and major players are calling the shots. I get the feeling that in the next few years, though, some stuff will be exposed that will be shocking to the world who really thought this was a democracy. Liberals really need to think about the negative words they speak about Obama. We get plenty of hatred and vitriol about him on the right-wing blogs and right-wing radio. I agree with you. The bill and some of his choices don't make any sense to me, but I remember my dad used to say, every president gets elected, and then in a few months he looks shocked and changes his tune. My dad would say, boy, whatever they are showing him or telling him in there must be some heavy stuff. Look at his face now. Dr. Sachs. Yeah, I'm inclined to do that too. I know that I, you know, I'm as disappointed as anybody in what's going on here. But it damn sure is not all Obama's fault. Even the fact that he is responding to the corporations. I mean, what are you going to do? The change, the revolution, the evolution, the has got to come from the bottom up. It's not going to come from the top down. We, you know, you and I are not stupid. We know this. Republican deadheads are going to be Republican brain deadheads forever. The scum on right-wing talk radio are going to continue to scum the airwaves. Obama, I think, is going to do what he can do within the confines of what he believes. He is conservative. He may be a progressive conservative, but he is conservative. I think he's made that clear, hasn't he? Yeah. And Dr. Sachs is right, and everybody else who knows what the man inherited, what he got as a gift from the Bush crime family. Now, of course, he asked for the job, didn't he? He worked his butt off to get the job, didn't he? Well, he's got the job. So, who was it? I read something the other day that was, what was it? Somebody wrote, you know, don't bitch, organize. You know, that's so true. It always has been true, right? It always has been true. And you and I know this. We don't need to tell each other that. You know, we need to stop bitching and moaning and complaining and just get to work. We know that. I don't know what the energy level is. Oh, here it is. E.J. Dionne writing on his blog. He writes, progressives don't scream, organize. And that's what Saul Alinsky said all those years ago, back in the late 50s, early 60s, into the 60s. If you want change, be the change you want. That sounds very trite and very slick and kind of, you know, Madison Avenue-y, but it's the truth, isn't it? Huh? Sure it is. So, all right, we're going to open up the lines. The number here is 877-996-2556. If you'd like to get on the program tonight, we'd love to hear from you. I'm not going to get all into all the ugliness that we normally talk about on this program. during the year. We got to have one break, and I think winter solstice, Christmas is a good time to ease up a little bit. But I don't want to inhibit you. If there's something you want to talk about that is out of the headlines or something that's, you know, a burr under your saddle, let's do it. You know, this peace and solstice and Christmas only goes so far until you want to gag. I know. So, stick around, and if you want to join in, Again, the number is 877-996-2556. And if you missed it, program notes, tomorrow night and Friday night, Christmas Eve and Christmas night, will be rebroadcasts of this program. So if you're hearing this on Christmas Eve or Christmas night, hi from the past, the ghost of Christmas past, c'est moi. Anyway, the next week, we'll be gone. We'll be back January 4th. And Brad Friedman will be doing a lot of substituting for us while we're gone. And there'll also be a couple of rebroadcast programs scattered around in there at some point. So there's your program notes. All right, quick break. We'll be back and continue with the Christmas show on the Mike Malloy program. The sale from Saturn is here with the biggest savings ever on every remaining new Saturn or 0% financing for qualified buyers plus bonus cash. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Christmas program on the Malloy Show. Yeah, it has sponsors. We have something else coming up a little bit later in the program. The Rolaids Relief of the Week thingy that they've asked us to do. And, you know, tie in with Rolaids. And I've got a great one. Oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. However, as far as we're concerned here at La Casa Malloy, it would not be Christmas without our favorite rendition of a traditional Christmas carol, one that we've come to love and almost consider part of the family. Sometimes when I can't sleep in the middle of summer, I'll get up and find this and put it on the Bose speaker system and crank it up. And I've been threatened that will end my marriage if I do it again. But here it is, one of our favorite carols.
Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error high, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and
That just gives me goosebumps. I love that. That for us starts the official beginning of the Christmas season. The winter solstice season, of course, started about a week ago. But that, all right. Brian is in Los Angeles listening on Sirius. Hey, Brian.
Hey,
get me off your speakerphone, pal.
Oh, I can't do it. I'm driving. No.
Oh, you're driving? Well, we're not going to be able to, we've got gremlins in our sound system, our phone system to begin with, and just not going to make that. But, I'm sorry, Brian, forgive me, but, it'll just be impossible to handle the call. But anyway, thanks for checking in. Drive safe. Good idea. Not taking off the speaker while you're driving. I like that. That's good. Nora's in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hey, Nora.
Hey, Mike.
How are you?
Is this echoing to you or just me?
No, we got a terrible connection with you too. I don't know. Maybe Kathy can fix it. Can you adjust the connection a little bit, Kathy? Go ahead, Nora. Try to.
Does it sound any better now?
No, not really. Not really. I'll tell you what, folks. What we're going to do is try to work the bugs out of the phone system because I just Nora, thanks. I just can't do that again tonight where everything starts howling and twisting and getting all screwed up. No offense. It's not the caller's fault. It's a system, absolute system meltdown failure here. We, as you know, if you're a regular listener, we keep this starship in the air with spit and glue. Maybe this year we'll make enough money to, the company will make enough money that we can get things fixed. You think? Rolaids, relief of the week. Brought to you by Rolaids. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Here's how I spell it. It's after dinner. You're tired. You ease yourself into a comfortable place to watch your favorite TV show. Suddenly, you're jolted from your couch potato demeanor by a commercial break. It's an ad. For insurance or rum or a credit card, and it's blaring, invading your calm and boosting your blood pressure, right? You know why that happens. The people who put that garbage on the air want the loud commercials to grab viewers' attention. Well, guess what? A Democratic representative from California, Representative Anna Eshoo, and her fellow politicians in the House have decided to do something. In her crusade to eliminate the nuisance, Representative Eshoo wrote the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, or the CALM Act, which mandates that TV commercials be no louder than the programs in which they appear. Representatives in the House unanimously passed the bill last month. See, they can work together. And sent it to the Senate for consideration. A media analyst said, this is a dumb bill, but I love it. The guy, Mark Hughes, said that for irritated Americans, it strikes a nerve, even though it's not a huge political issue. Representative Eshoo says she's been swamped with email, mail, and phone calls from people who have thanked her for the bill. And under the measure, advertisers and production houses would have 1 year to adopt technology that modulates and sets sound levels and apply it to TV commercials. So, the way I spell relief, well, with this. How do you spell it? R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police stop my car. Police stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. They wanna wish me
past the hour. Hey, you're only 14 minutes away from hearing the Christmas edition of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, written and produced by Bob Alexander, coming up at this after the next break. Stick around for this. I don't care if you don't listen to the rest of the program. Stick around for this. Dave is in Huntington Beach, listening on KTLK. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. I love that Christmas carol. That was fantastic.
The which one? The Night Before Christmas?
Yeah, The Night, yeah. That was very good. Well, I really appreciate your show focused on the truth. I specifically wanted to speak about the right wing. I've been crying about the liberal bias in media when their media is extremely biased.
Yeah.
As a radio listener, I listened to Rush Limbaugh for years, and I couldn't believe, even with this the way the country is in problems, they accept no responsibility for it.
No, they don't. Well, you know, the right-wing radio talkers, Dave, they're not the least bit interested in any solutions at all. What they want is death and destruction. They want a race war. They want Obama assassinated. They want a religious war. They're like an assortment of, I was talking about this last night, assortment of Jim Jones types that suck in their audience with this fake, phony, populist rhetoric. These guys are not populist. Every single one of the sons of bitches are multimillionaires. But they suck in the audience and then start to encase their brain in barbed wire. And what they're looking for, especially Beck, he's looking for people to commit mass suicide when he does. Whether it's spiritually, I think he's already dead. Mentally, emotionally, psychologically, or even physically. These people on right-wing talk radio, they're interested in one thing, chaos.
Well, that was actually the point of my call. I've seen the influence that Glenn Beck has had on someone that I know. He told me today that Glenn Beck was saying that Obama and his people were imps, the spawn of Satan.
Well, that's pretty close. I'll tell you what. Having said that, on your phone call, you've got to listen to the Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe coming up right after this next break, because Beck features in it. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Mike.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in. Tony in Maine writes. Hi, Mike. So 'tis the season, so they say, with each passing year, though I find myself more and more disillusioned by this time of the year. Well, I ventured out today to pick up a few things before I take the trek down to Massachusetts to visit with my family. Off to the shopping center I went. The stores were mobbed, and what is usually a 20-minute trip turned out to be a 3-hour nightmare. Every store I went into was short-staffed, thus leaving many people standing in long lines. So there I stood waiting patiently to pay for my stuff, and as I stood there, I started people-watching. What I witnessed was not people who were joyous. They were not jolly. They were not happy. Just the looks on their faces told me that this was a miserable experience for them. So then I stopped into a local coffee shop to grab some much-needed caffeine. When I went to pay for my coffee, I wished the woman behind the counter a happy holiday. Well, this woman just glared at me and in a very nasty tone said, "Merry Christmas," as if I had committed some kind of sin by not mentioning the word Christmas. I really wanted to say something, but decided I would have been wasting my breath, so I took my coffee and went on my way. It's amazing how we have turned this simple time of celebration into something so stressful, like we already don't have enough stress in our lives. If it weren't for my family, I would be treating this like any other day, but I come from an Italian Catholic family, and they're really into it. So now I have to face my family and tell them I will not be attending Christmas Mass. After the vote in November up here in Maine, in which they turned down same-sex marriage, I swore I would never step one foot into a church again. They played a pivotal role in defeating my rights to get married, and for that, I will not forget. So I wanted to say thank you for all you do in your program, and to thank Kathy for the work she does, and for all of your contributors as well. And thanks to XM Radio for carrying your program. Your show is a gift, and not just a gift for the season, but for the entire year. Have a great week off. Tony in Maine. Well, that was nice. Thank you, Tony. That was a very nice email. And I've gotten a bunch of those from people who appreciate the show. And thank you very much. who doesn't enjoy hearing that the work that they do is isn't appreciated, you know, or is appreciated. Who doesn't like it? Using a double negative there, and I always get lost. Thanks for the positive emails. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, we have a break here. When we come back, we will play the Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe Christmas Edition, written and produced by Bob Alexander. Don't miss it.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Almost before the hour. This is the Malloy Show, the Christmas program on the Malloy Show. All right, as promised, if you're a regular listener to the program, you know that Bob Alexander in Seattle contributes a lot to the program. He's one of our ethics advisors. He's also a great writer. And he has provided us with 7 or 8 episodes of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, maybe more than that. And there hasn't been one for a while, and mainly because he's been working editing the book that I've written. So we asked him for a Malloy Gumshoe for tonight. And by God, he did it.
From Hollywood, the Jimmy Durante Show.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Now, have you heard the news?
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Happy holidays, truth seekers from coast to coast, border to border, and around the globe. Join us tonight as we listen to A Christmas Story from Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Hi, truth seekers. It was the night before Christmas. Molly was nestled all snug in her bed, and I was about to tell her all about the time her mommy and I went down to Fox headquarters.
This isn't the one where it turns out where it was all just a bad dream, is it?
No, this is a new episode. You're thinking of episode number 4, The Fortress of Fox.
Well, that's good. We haven't been doing these things long enough to get away with a rerun.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, it all started when I received a phone call from my contact down at Fox.
It sure sounds like the other one.
No, really. This is a new story.
But didn't the other one start with a phone call from your...
No. That one started when he knocked on the door.
But didn't he call first?
Yeah, but... okay, look. Just cue up the Christmas transitional music.
I'm just saying. Seems awfully familiar.
It's just a story device, Kathy. That's all. You know, a radio thing. Malloy here. Yeah? Yeah? Well, when's he supposed to go on? Who else knows about this? We'll be over there as soon as we can.
Who was it?
My contact down at
Fox. We know that part already. What's going on?
Well, later today, they're going to broadcast Glenn Beck's Christmas show live.
So?
Well, Beck's gone missing. He's missed all the rehearsals, and according to my contact, Beck's been acting pretty strange of late.
Strange? When has he not been strange?
No time for semantical mind games, baby. The story's too hot to pass up. Let's go. We sped over to Fox headquarters and parked behind the studio complex. I called my contact on my cell, and he was there to let us in.
What happened to all their security?
I guess they've got their hands full trying to find the head teabagger. We started searching for Beck in the lower levels of Fox. He could be hiding anywhere.
It's pretty creepy down here. If this were a horror movie, this is the part where you'd say, why don't they all just get out of the house? I told you so.
The scream came from behind that door.
It's the makeup room. Kathy, stand behind me.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Well, he's not in there.
Who was that?
I don't know. I think it might have been Greta Van Susteren. Gee, that guy seemed awfully harsh. Malloy. Yeah. Yeah. Where is he? What floor? We'll be right there.
They find him?
Yeah, he's barricaded himself in the main control room. He's talking to Roger Ailes on the phone. And he's got a gun.
We arrived outside the control room just in time to hear Beck blaring through the loudspeakers.
I'm gonna lose my mind today.
What do you suppose set him off?
Well, someone like Beck, you never know. Could be anything. A bad hair day. A black guy in the White House. Maybe the humidity. Anything.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Through the glass windows of the control room, we could see Beck pacing back and forth like a caged animal. A big, sweaty, caged animal.
Get off my phone!
This doesn't look good.
Get off my phone!
Beck threw down the phone and picked up a gun. A .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world that could blow his head clean off, and raised it to his temple.
You are the secret. You're the answer.
Mike, we've got to do something.
I just love my country, and I fear for it.
We've got to break down the door.
I am not a journalist. I'm sorry.
He missed! How could he miss?
He missed again.
I'm sorry.
Oh, for crying out loud.
He did it. He missed the barn.
Kathy, we've got to get out of here.
Oh, I don't know. At this rate, I don't think he's going to hurt himself.
No, you don't understand. Haven't you ever seen a James Bond movie? And sooner or later, a stray bullet's going to hit one of those monitors. And sparks and flames are going to start shooting out. And that'll cause a chain reaction. And then this whole place will blow.
That's impossible. Computers don't explode if you shoot the monitor.
If it works that way in the movies, it works that way in radio. Come on. Glenn Beck finally made it to the top of his world, and it blew right up in his face. Kathy and I made it out to what was left of the parking lot, and then I thought I heard something far off in the distance. The sound of Christmas bells? Kathy, do you hear that?
What? Yes, I hear it.
What day is it?
Why, it's Christmas Eve, Mike.
Then at least for one day, we're free. We're free. The hate, the fear-mongering, and the lies will stop for at least one day. Sure, they'll build it back in again. There's too much money at stake for them not to. But at least for a little while, the voices of insanity have been silenced. And isn't that the best Christmas gift of all?
Keep it lit, Truth Seekers, and be sure to tune in again for yet another thrilling episode taken from the case files of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
I love it! Written and produced by Bob Alexander, performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. That is a good one. I like that one. Are these posted at our website, Kathy? Do we post these? Yeah, I think we need to do that. This will be part of tomorrow night's program, of course, and then Friday night's program, too. So if you missed it, what? Do what?
I said, it's going to be like, you're going to think you have the worst hangover in history. You're saying, God, Marge, every time I turn into Malloy, it's the same show. Over and over, I don't know. And too much to drink last night.
Or not enough. One of the two. Anyway, thanks to Bob Alexander, who wrote and produced that episode, as he writes and produces all the episodes. And
wasn't Molly cute at the end? She's just so adorable. I love my kid.
Oh, boy, is that unusual, huh? Oh, my.
She's just been so much fun helping me in the kitchen lately. You know, all she wants to do is, like, I don't know. She was playing with bread dough today, and she just kept flipping it around saying she was making a pancake. It's just been a lot of fun. I've had a really nice time with her out of school. I never thought I'd say that, but I've had a really nice time with her out of school. Not only getting another hour's sleep in the morning, but just being around my kid. She's funny.
Well, it's kind of fun to watch. Molly is back in a gentler time. They referred to kids like Molly, little girls like Molly, as tomboys. You know, she is that. She is she's a real hellraiser. I mean, there is absolutely no question about that. And every once in a while, she gets this domestic thing, courtesy Kathy, I guess. But enough about my kid. I didn't bring it up. Kathy did. All right, we have a break coming up here, so we'll take the break, then we'll come back and do some more phone calls. And also, at the bottom of the next hour, roughly, the reading of the Christmas story, the Christmas, the birth of Jesus mythology, and it is mythology, forget the Son of God stuff. I mean, just the whole setting. But it's a real nice story. Just like you can find in practically any religion, you can find little gems of poetry or prose. And that's the way we look at the birth of Jesus as reported or recorded in the book of Luke. And we'll be doing that a little bit later in the program, too. All right, your phone calls when we come back. At least we'll make another effort at it. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you hear
silver bells. Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The sale from Saturn is here with the biggest savings ever on every remaining new Saturn. Or 0% financing for qualified buyers, plus bonus cash. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th.
And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows. A turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots.
It's about 9 before the hour.
Eyes all aglow.
Email here from Jaybird in Oklahoma City. Mike, why don't you let you know I'm a fan in Oklahoma City, listens to your podcast each morning, and I plan to buy your book. Even though I have 3 XM radios, I just can't listen to you in the evening when I prefer to hang out with my family and friends. Your show, though, is absolutely perfect to listen to at work, where I'm a computer programmer for a medical billing company. Listening to you at work complements my Dilbert-style work environment very well. Every morning when I leave for work, I take a USB flash drive with me of your podcast, which is automatically downloaded in the middle of the night. Anyway, I wanted to add a thought to the conversation. I had a professor that once pointed out the following statement is completely logical, 100% logical. One, witches are made of wood. Two, wood floats. Three, therefore witches float. However, any sane person knows witches do not exist, and even if they did, they most certainly are not going to be made of wood. To put this in context, I think political discourse in this country is a debate over statement two, wood floats. Does wood float or burn? The two political parties take a position. One says wood floats, the other says wood burns. The outcome in statement three becomes the same for whoever is called a witch, only slightly different. What I love about your show is that you discuss the dumbasses that fail to understand the idiocy of statement one. There are no witches. The difficult thing to understand is why so many people, especially here in Oklahoma, fail to see the argument laid out as we do and buy into some damn fairy tale. Replace statement one with any totally asinine fairy tale about Iraq or 9/11 or whatever, and you begin to see where they trick their sad little minds into something they perceive as 100% logical. Also, they're able to hold two different thoughts in their mind at the same time, because wood can burn and float. Keep up the good work. I'll be listening to your podcast. Jay Burt in Oklahoma City. P.S. Happy Festivus. wood floats, wood burns. What else we got here? The the news today, a couple of times I flipped on CNN to see what was going on. And the two stories that they just kept playing over and over and over and over and over again. First of all, the plane crash in Jamaica where nobody died. That certainly is good news. And the other story was the boy who had been severely burned, right, Kathy? Severely burned and been in the hospital and he's out. And which is, you know, a tragic story and has kind of a happy ending, I guess. He's out. He didn't die. I didn't catch the particulars of the story. But what did catch my attention to the point where I just couldn't listen to the story anymore was the repetition. Over and over and over. I swear to God, every half hour, that story played today. And I'm not sure. Yes, I am. I do know why they do that. I kept thinking, though, the sixth or seventh or eighth time that I happened to hear that story today, and it is, you know, it's a human interest story. There's no question. But the sixth or seventh time I heard it, I thought, you know, they're spending a lot of time on this package of I guess it was his mom or his aunt or his sister, his mom. And bless her heart and bless the boy's heart. And I hope they all just recover and everybody lives happily ever after. And I don't mean that cynically, but I kept thinking, why not just run that story every 2 hours or every 3 hours today? And in place of running it every half hour, put in something about the healthcare fiasco. A health insurance reform fiasco, or put in something, put in some commentary, anti-war commentary about what Obama is doing in Afghanistan, or maybe how about some coverage on the plans that Cindy Sheehan has about opening up a peace camp in Washington, D.C., near the White House. You know, something. Instead of this tragic, yet I guess it has a happy ending. Like I say, I just didn't stick around long enough to see what the outcome of the story was. But that's what they do to us, don't they? This is what major mainstream media does. And that in itself is a pretty dead topic. All right, we have a break coming here. When we come back after the top of the hour, let's chat. If you would like to call in, we'll see if we can filter your phone call past the gremlins. The number here is 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. So do join us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is The Christmas Show. Welcome back at 7 past the hour. Mike Malloy here. This is the Christmas Winter Solstice program on The Malloy Show. Glad you could make it. You know what I'm tempted to do, Kathy, is to read the solstice thing that Bridget wrote again. What do you think? You want to do that? Can you find the music? Because it was so, it's so pretty. Let's do it again. Pathways Through Silence, Bridget Wolf, whose website is fairywoodlands.com, fairywoodland.com. And again, if you haven't been to that website, you're missing something. All right, maestro, if you will. Silence. No twittering of birds, no water burbling in the stream, not even a breath of breeze in the fir trees. Only the whisper of flakes, soft as a feather, drifting down from the heavens, covering bush and branch, watercourse and pathway, in clouds of jewels. The snow is so new, there are no tracks. No bird scratches, no bunny feet, only the jewels, the crystalline sparkle of water molecules sculpted by winter's icy breath into faceted gems, then dropped in slow motion on a barren landscape. A few hours ago, all was gray. Now hints of rainbows hide at the edges of my vision, waiting only for a ray of sun to spring to life. Ah, yes, sun. It is the sun I've come seeking on this shortest day, longest night of the year. The winter solstice has been creeping up on me, the dark stealing a bit more of the light each day. The sun sinks further to the south, its arc in the sky grows smaller, until I wonder, as my ancestors did before me, whether the light will ever return. The holly bushes are filled with red berries, letting us know the winter will be early and long. This year, the Holly King will not relinquish his reign without a struggle. This is a time when nature sends us deep into the cave of ourselves to find the warmth and light that truly sustains us. As much as we may love the silver glow of a full moon night, We mortals are not creatures of reflected light. We are the source of our own fire, burning engines of spirit flames like the sun. We have the capacity to warm and nurture or to burn and consume everything around us. Do we want to turn up the heat and melt the snow and ice? We'll destroy the rainbow crystals hiding in the snowflakes. The solstices and the equinoxes teach us that balance is the key. Knowing when we have gone far enough into the silence, knowing when we have shouted loud enough to the voices in the sky. So in this mystical, magical depth of winter, we string lights on our eaves, hang shiny ornaments on trees, and light the Yule log while taking care not to set the house on fire. There's no need to panic in the cold and the dark. There is a cycle to these things. And for every fear that the snow will silence us forever, there is the hope that there will be room for our voices to sing again with the spring. The celebrations of midwinter give us a chance to take a deep breath and share our fire with friends who've been peering into our introspective caves. In the silence of the winter solstice, in the moment when the earth holds her breath and waits for the sun to begin the path again, reach for the light that glows in your heart and sing softly to all that you love. With your own warmth and light, nourish the seeds you will plant in the spring that will grow in the summer for you to harvest in the bounty of autumn. Just as we know on this night that the light of the summer will come again, we also know that a year from now, we will be back in the dark and the cold. What is outside us will follow its eternal pathways. What we grow inside is ours to choose. If each of us holds warmth and light in our hands and our hearts in this time of cold and dark, perhaps it can radiate into the world. Bridget Wolf is one of the two ethics advisors to this program, and that is her tribute to winter solstice. Thanks, Bridget. Really is pretty. I like that. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. Is nobody out there tonight? Everybody afraid of our phone system? We'd like to hear from you. There's a veteran group now calling on soldiers to refuse orders to deploy to Afghanistan and Iraq. Dar Jamil, writing at Truthout, has it. He writes in response to President Barack Obama's announcement to deploy 30,000 more troops to the occupation of Afghanistan. There's an organization called March Forward, comprising both veterans and active duty members of the U.S. military. And they're calling on all soldiers to refuse their orders to deploy. A press release from the group from earlier this month said, quote, March Forward calls on all service members to refuse orders to deploy to Afghanistan and Iraq. We offer our unconditional support and solidarity. Join us in the fight to ensure that no more soldiers or civilians lose their lives in these criminal wars, end quote. Michael Preisner, a former corporal in the Army who served from 2001 to 2005 and is a veteran of the occupation of Iraq, co-founded the group with another Iraq war veteran, James Circello, C-I-R-C-E-L-L-O, James Circello, asked how he responds to those who believe a soldier should always follow orders no matter what. Preisner says, quote, in my experience, the majority of people joining the military today join out of necessity, like money, jobs, help for their family, etc. So most don't join for ideological or patriotic reasons. Most are driven into the military by economic conditions. We see this playing out now as people are joining in droves because of the economy, end quote. Preisner added, quote, yes, people do sign a contract to follow orders, but those orders are wrong and unlawful. We want to educate people to the fact that these are immoral orders, and the soldiers are being used as muscle for corporations to colonize the developing world, and it's not legitimate. People who join and take this oath seriously, who think they're in the military to defend the U.S., this is not what we are being used for in the military today, end quote. Prisoner also has written about his experiences in Iraq. He writes, quote, "There was no computer screen separating me from the suffering civilian population. I spent 12 months in Iraq doing everything from prisoner interrogations to ground surveillance missions to home raids. It was my first-hand experience in Iraq that radicalized me. I believed I was going to Iraq to help liberate and better the lives of an oppressed people. But I soon realized that my purpose in Iraq was to be the oppressor and to clear the way for U.S. corporations with no regard for human life," end quote. After he separated from the army in 2005, Pryor, quote, "understood that the occupation I was part of was a crime against humanity. I understood that illegal conquering of Iraq was for profit, carried out by a system that serves a tiny class of super rich whose endless drive for wealth is at the expense of working people in the United States and abroad," end quote. According to Prisoner, the lessons he learned from being part of the U.S. occupation of Iraq taught him that, quote, "I still had the same drive to fight for freedom, justice, and equality as I did when I joined. And I understood that fighting for those things meant fighting against the U.S. government, not on behalf of it," end quote. There's more. Especially address a couple more things Prisoner has to say to those who call him and his organization anti-American or unpatriotic. Remember what Timothy McVeigh said. He understood that fighting for those things meant fighting against the U.S. government, not on behalf of it. I'm not equating a murderous, obviously psychopath like Timothy McVeigh to any anti-war movement, but it's interesting how conclusions are reached when you're in a combat zone.
When men of good will live in peace again, then peace on earth can it be. They say Osama's in the mountains, deep in a cave in Pakistan. But there's a sea of blood in Baghdad, a sea of oil in the sand. Between the
21 past the hour. All right, concluding here, Michael Prisoner, former corporal in the Army, who is a veteran of the occupation of Iraq, and another Iraq War veteran, James Circello, or Circello, not sure how you pronounce it, C-I-R-C-E-L-L-O. They have co-founded a group called March Forward, calling on service members, all service members, to refuse orders to deploy to Afghanistan and or Iraq. Backing up just a little bit, after he separated from the Army in 2005, a Prisoner, quote, "understood that the occupation I was part of was a crime against humanity. I understood that illegal conquering of Iraq was for profit, carried out by a system that serves a tiny class of super rich whose endless drive for wealth is at the expense of working people in the United States and abroad." He goes on, "I still have the same drive to fight for freedom, justice, and equality as I did when I joined. I understood that fighting for those things meant fighting against the U.S. government, not on behalf of it," end quote. And to those who call him or his organization anti-American or unpatriotic, Prisoner has this to say, quote, "I would say that I have more in common with my sisters and brothers in Iraq and Afghanistan than I do with these people in D.C. who've sent us to war. If that's unpatriotic, then yes, I am. But patriotism and racism are the only things the military has to fall back on to convince people to do the things we are being asked to do today," end quote. March Forward is the group. It was founded in 2008, and the aim of the organization is to unite all those who've served and who currently serve in the U.S. military and want to stand up for our rights and for that which is right. You ought to follow up and on this organization, March Forward! Exclamation point. You can find out all you want to know about these people just by Googling it. But I, you know, in a season that's supposed to be about peace and love and brotherhood and so on and so forth, what is more in keeping with the spirit of that season than to organize a group that tries to convince soldiers, Marines, that what we're doing in these countries is immoral, illegal, unethical, has no basis in truth or justice, and is in fact about serving the greed of corporate America. So I certainly support this organization. Will is in Anaheim, California, listening on Sirius. Hey, Will.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's the first time I'm actually talking to you. I've called you about 3 or 4 times and hung up before you got to me because I felt like maybe I would be saying the wrong thing or something. So this time I went ahead and hung on.
Well, here you are.
Yay. I just want to say, yay, I love your show so much, dude.
Well, thank you.
I've been screaming about the fascists that have taken over our country for so damn long. I didn't even start voting until that Clinton son of a bitch came in. I was pretty sure by the time Reagan showed up that we had no matter whether we voted or not.
Yeah.
I went ahead and started voting. Actually, I didn't even vote until after Clinton. I just knew he was going to win, so I just let everybody else do it. And then when this George W. thing came up.
Hey, Will?
Yeah?
Let me just suggest something. I know you're listening on Sirius.
Mm-hmm. Am I cussing? I'm sorry.
Well, there's a couple words that don't let them slip.
I'm sorry, dude.
That's
I'm sorry.
All
right. I forget because I love my Sirius so much.
I know. Just be cool.
I'll do that.
All right. Good. No, it's all right. Don't apologize. It's easy to forget, you know. You're listening on Sirius. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, dude, because it's so wonderful. But my point being, I am freedom underwear.
Yeah.
With a registered trademark with our country here of FUW.
Freedom underwear?
Yes. It took me, I went in 2005, and then I think it took me till 2006 to actually get the trademark. They said it meant something totally different than what it means.
Yeah.
Freedom underwear. But that aside, I was hoping when this wonderful new president of ours came in.
Yeah.
I was a stupid man. And I thought, actually, when he said hope and change,
yeah,
when he actually went after issues, there'd be some kind of a change going on.
Well, yeah, look, Will, let me just tell you, because we're coming up on a break. You're not alone, man. You really are not. I mean, there were like millions of us who also went for the hope and the change. Maybe the change was that Obama didn't have a whole lot of latitude to do things too much differently from, say, Clinton did. But the change would be that he wouldn't be a dumbass like Bush, like all members of the Bush crime family were like complete dumbasses. Maybe that was a change. I don't know. The whole thing is freaky. Well, I got a boogie. Thanks, man. Keep trying. We'll put you on anytime you call in. Take care. Just watch the F-bomb. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Saturn is here with the biggest savings ever on every remaining new Saturn or 0% financing for qualified buyers, plus bonus cash. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th.
Dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas.
It's 25 before the hour. David is in Denver, listening online. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, listen, I want to wish you and yours the best of the season. And actually, I also want to wish or thank and wish all your contributing writers and people that write into you, your correspondents, as it were.
Yeah.
Peaceful and happy season. To
well, that's
a lot of this show.
Well, that's very kind because the people who contribute this program, whether it's just, you know, a comment in an email or, you know, a lengthy piece like Bridget or Prairie 2 or Bob or whoever, you know, they're the cogs in the wheels that make the show turn. And that's the truth. Without all that, you know, there wouldn't be anything here. I've got nothing to say for 3 hours a night, you know. I mean, I couldn't do that.
Well,
no,
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I could sit here and bitch and moan for 3 hours, but I mean, you know, to put on a show, to do it every single night, 5 nights a week, you've got to have a good listening audience, people to contribute. Like I say, whether it's just a quick email, a correction in something I said, you know, a longer piece, it's that's how it works. And I know that everybody who hosts a talk radio program will say the same thing. They probably have said it today, right? Anyway.
I don't think.
Whatever.
Hey, listen, I was going to call this. It's just, I like to meet tonight. You've got kind of an open mic. So I've been watching the Senate hearings, the debate. I mean, the witches and wood thing.
David, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on a Bluetooth. Let me pick up.
Oh, yeah, pick up. There you go.
There you go. I hope I don't lose you.
No. We're here. Doon, dee, doon, doon. Are you there? Hey, David. Oh, no. David? Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe David will call back in. Sorry about that, David. Ben is in Buena Park, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Ben.
Can you hear me okay? I know I sound like a 1935 movie.
A what?
A 1935 movie.
No, it sounded worse than that. How did you do that?
I ran my finger up and down my mouth.
While you're talking?
Like that.
Oh, like that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. See? Cheap parlor tricks, huh?
Yeah, I'm impressed, man. I am very impressed.
Now there's a reason to get a podcast.
Yeah.
Replay that one.
All right, you got a minute and a half. What you got on your mind?
Well, you know, it's about this change thing.
Yeah.
You know, this decade has been marked for me that I met some of my Lakota relatives.
Yeah.
And a lot of their life is all determined by the buffalo. I mean, they learn from the buffalo, and it suddenly dawned on me, you know, buffalo, when a herd is trampling along and there's danger up ahead,
yeah,
and then they try to move and avoid the danger,
right,
they don't change that much in their direction, but they do change enough to avoid the danger.
That's true. The edge of the cliff or the pack of wolves or the white man waiting to put a bullet in their foreheads. I understand what you're saying. Hey, Ben, I got to leave there. You know why? Not that I don't find your call very entertaining and informative, but we're getting ready for the religious part of the program. So, thanks a lot for checking in. There are several stories in several religious theories about virgin births and so on and so forth. And the one that is found in the book of Luke, in the Christian part of the Bible, is no different from many other virginal birth stories. But I happen to like this one, and it was the one that I grew up with. So we're going to, I know you're familiar with it, we're going to share it with you. All right, here is my reading from the book of Luke about the birth of Jesus. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.